Okay, I just want to pray again this morning before we go into God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another beautiful time of praise and thanksgiving and worship to your holy name. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to partake of communion and once again identify ourselves with Jesus. And that it's through Jesus that we can say we are children of God. As your children this morning, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. That your word would do its work. And that because we're speaking, Lord, about the Holy Spirit, we ask you, Holy Spirit God, that as you are here, that you would attest God's word with signs, with wonders, with wonderful things happening in people's lives. Not for the sake of experience, dear Holy Spirit, but for the cause of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. On Sunday mornings, as you know, as we've been saying, we're focusing for this week and next week will be the last one, the Holy Spirit. And we've seen how he, the promised helper, has come to dwell forever with Christians. And we have to make this very clear because Satan will come to Christians on a regular basis and make you feel like you are not a Christian. And, you know, that's if you're an evolutionist who thinks that there's a likelihood if you're a frog in 100 million years, you'll become a human being. Sometimes Satan will have you thinking, if you're a Christian today, because you sin tomorrow, you can't be a Christian, you become something else. You cannot be not a Christian once you are a Christian, because the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you forever. He has come as the promised helper to dwell forever with Christians. And we've looked at who he is. He is God. He is equally God with the Father and with the Son. We've looked at what he does, for example, how he convicts people of sin and enables them to believe in Jesus so that they can be saved. You see, no one sitting here this morning who calls themselves a Christian could say that without the Holy Spirit. He was already at work. But when you think about it, he was at work way, way, way long ago, before the foundation of the world. If you can imagine the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting around deciding about a wonderful, wonderful plan. And in that plan, they discussed you. And the Holy Spirit knew when the time would come that he would speak to you and he would reveal Jesus to you and you would believe. No one can be saved without the Holy Spirit. Dave described him, I thought it was brilliant. Dave described him like the human resource department. The Holy Spirit is going to get you for this one day, Dave. But he described him as the human resource department of an organization responsible for recruiting, that makes you a Christian, training, that's discipleship, and helping us to fulfill our calling, that is doing God's will. That's what he is responsible for. We've heard, for example, how he works in us and through us, teaching us to deny ourselves and become obedient to the Lord and his will as revealed to us. We know, for example, that he sanctifies us, and it's not just about making us holy. In God's eyes, we are holy, but it's a process of sanctification where he is continually changing us and making us the people God wants us to be. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He leads us. He teaches us. He guides us. And he does so, so much more. However, Keith spoke last week about how the Holy Spirit in leading us doesn't mean that the path to victory will be a bed of roses. Just because we have God on our side doesn't mean that our path to victory will be a bed of roses. Because at times he will actually lead us, as he did Jesus, into wilderness places. And I hear Christians gurning all the time about being in wilderness places. Oh, I'm in this really barren place. I'm in this really dry place. Oh, I'm in this awful place. Ask yourself, who took you there? If you're in that place. The Holy Spirit leads us at times into wilderness places. But where he leads us, he will be with us. And he will bring us through. We've got to trust God, that way before the foundation of the world, before we were ever thought of in any sense, in a human term, God had already planned, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what would be his purpose for you and for me. And when he leads us into wildernesses, he's with us, and he will bring us through, and he will complete the work that he has started. And when he leads us into wildernesses or times of trials, it is always, always, always to accomplish something in our lives and to teach us about trusting God. So if you're going through a wilderness period, if you're going through a difficult time in your life, the Holy Spirit has brought you into that place because there is something that he wants to accomplish in your life that will allow you to trust God. Dave said this, and I think it was fantastic. The Holy Spirit shares with us the treasures of heaven as he leads us into all truth. And sometimes to get us to understand a truth about God and to share with us the treasures of God, he leads us into dark places. If you want to find diamonds, you've got to dig deep. But Keith also said, in trials, the Holy Spirit urges us to focus on God. As I was saying last week, I was reading, and it was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who said, in all his years in pastoral ministry, he said the most miserable, miserable Christians were those who focused on themselves and on their problems, even focusing on looking for a blessing. He said they were the most miserable of Christians. In trials, the Holy Spirit urges us to focus on God. In temptations, Satan urges us to focus on ourselves. You see, trials may be sent from God to test us, to prove us or purify us, but Satan uses temptations to try to trip us up. There's nothing wrong with temptation. There's nothing sinful about temptation. Temptation is there to see if you're going to do things God's way or your own way. And when we learn with the help of the Holy Spirit who works within us to do things God's way, then we learn about trusting in God and we are sanctified. Because God tests us to purify us and also to prepare us to be an empowered people, empowered to serve God. So we've seen who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and how he does it. But I want to ask this morning this question. What does it mean to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, before we look at four short passages this morning from the Bible, and I'm telling you now, I am merely going to scratch the surface of the subject of baptism on the Holy Spirit, I want to emphasize this truth. No one, absolutely no one, becomes a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And the other side of the coin, every Christian is born again by the Holy Spirit and has him dwelling with them forever. Now, it's really important that you get this into your head before I say what I've got to say this morning. No one becomes a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And every Christian is born again by the Holy Spirit and has him dwelling with them forever. Every person who is a born again Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Have we got that clear? Everybody clear? No doubt this morning about what I'm saying. So therefore, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What difference does it make? And how can a Christian receive it? We'll turn please to Mark chapter 1. And we're reading from Mark chapter 1 verse 4. I'm speaking here of John the Baptist. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist preached a baptism, if you want to call it, of repentance for the remission of sins. He called out to the people of Israel, you need to repent. You need to confess your sins to God, turn away from them, and be baptized. In other words, he was telling the people, agree with God that you are a sinner. Turn from your sins and be baptized so that you might be forgiven and be brought into a right relationship with God. This was his calling. This was his ministry. And then in the middle of all of this, he told the people about one who was to come who was mightier than him. Now we know, because we have the Bible, we know that he was speaking of Jesus. And he said this of Jesus, I indeed baptize you with water in the River Jordan, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now think about what John is saying. Think about what he's doing. He told the people, confess your sins to God, agree with God that you're a sinner, repent, turn away and turn around from them, and then be baptized in the River Jordan. And we know that the people were totally immersed in the water. They went right down into the water. There's none of this wee sprinkling of water. That's necessary at certain times. But they were immersed in the water. Well, I believe John said to his listeners, and he's saying to us today, that Jesus, who is mightier than him, would baptize or would immerse with the Holy Spirit those who believed in him. Turn over, please, to John chapter 20. It's interesting that we sang this song this morning, Breathe In, Breathe On Me, O Breath of God. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, this is after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, personally, I would have thought they were already Christians. From the moment that they were picked, in that sense, they were picked before the foundation of the world, but let's not go down there just yet. After his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to his disciples where they were gathered in this room. He showed them his hands aside and he blessed them with his peace. Then Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, did he do that as a joke? Do you think when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit says, well, I'm not getting into any of them? We know that when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, they received the Holy Spirit. There's all these arguments in the Bible that would say, oh, no, it was symbolic. Jesus did it symbolically. Did he heck? When Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit and breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Now remember, these were disciples of Jesus. They were already disciples. They were followers of Jesus. They had been following him for 3 years. I would say it's safe to say they were Christians, although the term Christian wasn't used until some time later. There is no doubt they received the Holy Spirit. He had come to dwell with them and be in them forever. Everybody clear on that? I know one who is mightier than I who will come, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then he said to his disciples who were gathered in a room for fear of the Jews, receive the Holy Spirit. Turn now, please, to Acts chapter 1. It's just a couple of pages over. I'm going to have to fly through this. Acts chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, and after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible truths, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Couple of pages ago, Jesus met with the disciples who were in a room, scared stiff, fear of the Jews, breathes on them and says what? Receive the Holy Spirit. And here we have him now saying, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here we see Jesus, or here we see first Dr. Luke writing to Theophilus, telling him Jesus commanded his disciples who had earlier received the Holy Spirit, breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And he told them how Jesus said that in a few days, even though they had received the Holy Spirit, in a few days they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and would receive power when he comes upon them, and they would be witnesses to Jesus throughout the world. These people, again, these followers of Jesus who had already received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them, were soon to be totally, I believe, totally immersed in the Holy Spirit and would receive power to serve the Lord. Turn to chapter 2, please. This is the last few verses that I want to read this morning. In chapter 2 of Acts. First one, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, because Jesus had told them, you wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And here we see the fulfillment of what Jesus said. Suddenly there was the sound like a rushing wind which filled the room, and tongues like fire sat on each of the followers, the believers in Jesus, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These are the same people that Jesus had earlier breathed upon and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He had already come to dwell within them, and yet he was still seen as the promised one who would come and empower these people. As Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem till this happens. You see, the point I want to make this morning, and there are many other passages of Scripture to confirm what I am saying, the simple point is that every believer in Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell with them and is in them forever. However, there is also a baptism of the Holy Spirit, a being filled with the Holy Spirit that empowers people to glorify the Lord in service. The American evangelist and pastor R.A. Torrey said, a man or a person may be regenerated, the big religious word for born again, may become a Christian. A man may be regenerated by the Holy Spirit and still not be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In regeneration, in being born again, there is an immediate impartation of life, and the one who receives that life is saved. In other words, in that moment, you're born again by the Holy Spirit and you have everlasting life. He comes to live within you. However, in the baptism with the Holy Spirit, there is an impartation of power, and the one who receives it is fit or fitted for service. Let me read this again because it's so important. A person may be born again by the Holy Spirit and yet still not be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In regeneration, in being born again, there is an impartation of life, and the one who receives that life is saved. In the baptism with the Holy Spirit, there is an impartation of power, and the one who receives it is fitted for service. Now remember, no one can become a Christian without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts people of sin and enables them to believe in Jesus so that they can be saved. He imparts life to those who believe, and they have everlasting life. He comes as the promised helper, the one that Jesus promised would come. I will go away, but I will send you a helper. The Holy Spirit comes as the promised helper and dwells within all who believe. I'm emphasizing this over and over and over here this morning. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them and with them forever. However, I firmly believe that the scriptures teach there is still a baptism, an immersion, a being filled with the Holy Spirit, whereby he imparts power to those who believe to enable, equip, and empower us to serve the Lord. I personally believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the being filled with the Holy Spirit, is not just a one-off event either, but that Christians can be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So this morning I want to do things slightly differently and speak to any unbelievers, maybe none here, but any that might be here, or certainly any who could be listening to our podcast. To the person who's not yet a Christian, I would like to say this to you first. Without the Holy Spirit coming to you and enabling you to see that you are a sinner and that you need to repent, turn away from your sin and be saved. Unless the Holy Spirit comes to you and reveals that to you, you cannot be saved. Without the Holy Spirit coming to dwell with you forever, you can never know forgiveness of sins. You can never know peace with God or the peace of God, and you will never enter heaven. And therefore, I urge you to begin to cry out to God to have mercy upon you and send his Holy Spirit to help you. Because if not, you will be lost for all eternity. But I have a word this morning for Christians. And again, I stress this point. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian and know that you are born again, then you have already received the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. He will be with you forever. If he does not dwell in you, then you are not a Christian, and therefore you are not saved. However, let me ask, in light of that, you call yourself a Christian, you know you are a Christian, you consider yourself born again believer in Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He dwells with you forever. But let me ask, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered by Him to serve the Lord? See, this morning I would like to pray a general prayer for everyone who wants to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But also I urge you to really purpose in your hearts today, to purpose in your heart right now, that over the next number of days, over the next number of weeks, that you will really begin, because I said at the start of this series on the Holy Spirit that our focus would be on the Holy Spirit, and I urge people to begin really seeking the Holy Spirit. And I know that people have sought Him because He's spoken to people and they've shared it on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights. So the Holy Spirit is at work here. What I'm saying to you is when I'm going to pray a general prayer for everyone who wants to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, I'm urging you also to purpose in your heart right now before the Holy Spirit that over the next number of days or weeks you will truly begin to seek the Holy Spirit, asking Him to baptize you afresh with His power from on high. And all I can say is this before I pray: take a hold of this promise spoken by Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive power. Take a hold of that promise and say, Lord, empower me by your Spirit to serve you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to ask first, Lord, you know all of us, you know our needs. You know that we are all Christians, Lord, that are gathered in this place this morning. But we know, Lord God, that there may be people listening to the podcast who don't yet know you. I ask first, Father, for them, for the unbeliever, for the person who's not a Christian, that you, Lord God, in your grace and mercy, would send your Holy Spirit to them to take a hold of them and convict them of sin. Lord, that they would see the awfulness of their sin and the awfulness of their condition before a holy God. And then please, dear Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to them and the wonderful Savior that He is, and give them the faith to believe in Him, that they might be saved and that you might come to them and dwell with them forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning for every person in this place who wants to be baptized with your Holy Spirit. For every Christian who already has the Spirit of God dwelling within them, but who wants to be baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit. I pray today, Almighty God, that the Spirit of God would come upon them right now, and that He would fill them, that He would immerse them with Himself and empower them to serve the living God. I ask, Spirit of the living God, that as you begin to do this work right now, that, Lord, each of us would seek your face, calling upon your name, that you would fill us with power, that you would equip us to serve, and that we would be effective witnesses for Jesus in the ministries and the mission fields that you call us to serve you in. Empower us now from on high. In Jesus' name. Amen.